Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my coverage from Venice Immersive 2025, today's episode is about a piece called Creation of the World, which is a part of the competition at Venice Immersive 2025. So this is a virtuality piece that ends up being a bit of a spatial exploration and a journey of a Lithuanian artist's work called Mykolajas Konstantinas Čiurlionis. So there's a couple of Lithuanian creators that had previously created a piece that was obtaining these paintings and then translating them into these whole spatial adventures. And so the context is that you're taking a look at the surreal art that's inspired by these various religious themes and creation stories with a bit of a pagan edge. And so the center of gravity is the earth element of the spatial journey. You're really taking on this spatial journey and exploration of these artworks that are being translated from 2D into 3D, and you're going from one to the next. It's kind of like a mashing them all together into this spatial journey. The second center of gravity is like more of the water element, the musical component. So it's actually featuring a lot of his music as well, kind of like giving the sense of time as you're going through these spaces. And that the third center of gravity is that there is a bit of fire element in terms of the agency. It's more of a subtle look detection based upon where you're looking. You're changing where you're going, which when I saw the experience, I didn't even particularly notice that I had this ability to have that type of agency to locomote. It still felt like it was pretty on rails in terms of like there's boundedness in terms of where you can and cannot go. It's not like an open world exploration. It's more of like you're taking through this whole spatial journey and you have a little bit of a ability to kind of modulate your experience of that to a certain degree, but not too much. And so there's also no words or narration, and you're kind of left to discern the meaning based upon the associative symbolic logic that's in this piece. And so because a lot of the piece is based upon these more universal archetypal religious themes, but there's also more culturally specific Lithuanian themes. And so this is a type of immersive story that's being shown in the context of like a location-based entertainment. And the creator said that there's basically about anywhere between 15 to 25% of the entire population of Lithuania who have seen this art and immersive experiences. So the themes and archetypal expressions that are being explored here are explorations of the blending of different modes of artistic expression with the transcendent realms of mythology, religion, and symbolism. And so, quote, Mykolajas Konstantinas Čiurlionis is a painter, composer, and visionary. And so his worldview and artistic depth reflect a Renaissance-like spirit, blending music, visual art, and philosophy into unique, timeless universes. And so they also talk about some of these explorations of this transcendent and how that's ingressed into the physical reality, and that there's this relationship between the two. And so this kind of transcendent and more immanent, and the blending and blurring of these two realms together. And so this piece is described as, quote, an immersive VR fairy tale exploring the connection between the material and spiritual realms, a subtle, symbol-rich, and metaphor-rich journey through human maturity and awakening of creative power told in the timeless language of myth. It is an ode to creation, divine, natural, and human. So we're covering all of it and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Christina and Vitalus happened on Monday, September 1st, 2025, at Venice Immersive in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
I'm Christina Božita, film director. So I came from the flatties, traditional filmmaking. And in VR, I mean, well, here with our second piece called Creation of the Worlds. And we are in this competition in this island for the second time.
Yeah, hello, I'm Vitalius. And I work with VR since the very beginning, and I was a big fan of VR even before it started in real. I really dreamed to work with that, and when I have possibility, I first possibility to do it, I started to do it. My background is VFX and interactive projects, a little bit also in movie. And yeah.
Great. Well, I always like to hear the different design disciplines that people are bringing in. So I'd love if each of you could provide a bit more context as to your background and your journey into this immersive space.
Yeah, so as I already introduced a bit, I came from traditional filmmaker. I am film directress, and I use every bit what I learned in traditional cinema and what I use in traditional cinema in VR. And I mean... it's very interesting how the medias are mixing and what you can bring from one media to another media. And because you always work with the sound, you always work with the viewer's perspective, you work with the attention. Just in virtual reality, it's like 360 area around, so you have a bigger playground to work with.
And I also am a big fan of gaming, really into that industry. So my influence also of work is from gaming industry and from artistic games like Journey, for example. Yeah, it's just something what's really, I think, also have a big influence on our work and what we do. And yeah.
Great. So maybe you could give a bit more context for Creation of the World and how it came about. Where did it begin?
Creation of the World, it's a second piece, experience based on the paintings and music of Lithuanian most prominent artist, Mikalojus Konstantinas Čiurlionis. And in 2018, we presented the first VR experience, Trail of Angels, based on his work. And after all these years, we are coming with the second experience, also based on his work. Because, it's so interesting to work with different medias, like paintings, to bring them to life and to bring them to VR, because this artist, he was like preparing his works for this platform.
Yeah, and from my side, we saw a lot of paintings experiences, and to be honest, it wasn't something what really liked it too much, so also it was interesting possibility to try do it differently. So I believe that we find our approach here, and it is different, and even our two works, which are based on the same artist, they are different. So what is really cool about VR, that this media is quite new, have a lot of the possibility to experiment, to find your own way. So we did that twice, and really happy that probably from what I know from the viewers, that both was quite successful. And yeah, it's really fun to be the first somewhere, at least.
And so where do you begin with translating from these 2D paintings into 3D? Like, what's the process that you went through to not only do that translation, but to create a whole like spatial journey that takes you through a sequence of different spaces? So just curious to hear around that design process and translation from 2D to 3D.
I think, first of all, Čiurlionis, his paintings are not 2D. He was creating in 3D space already. And when you look, his paintings are very deep, and they are already 3D. And also, we like to joke that he was living in his universe, and his paintings were like postcards sending to our world, you know, and our job was just to recreate the world he was living in. And it was very, very easy, because his paintings are connecting. They are connecting between each other, and they are making the space bigger. And our job is to invite the viewer to his universe.
And this process is really very fun. It's like you have a lot of images on a table, and you try to construct for the sequences, a story from them. As Christina told also, yeah, they are connecting to each other, and you finding even new connections, and it's going also concept artist put everything also in the concepts, and then 3D blocking, and it's normal animation. Yeah.
In terms of creating that painterly style within VR, just curious if you used any generative AI techniques to like take from 2D to give a spatialization of it, or if it was all just modeling and texturing from the initial concept art of the paintings.
Yeah, for now it's only a traditional way, but now we are also looking into the AI and the possibilities how we can use it and how we can put into our pipeline. a lot of friends of AI artists who are working with that now, and we communicating with them and trying to find what's new can it bring to our work. But all these Foster pieces which we have, they was totally human brain, done by human brains. Yeah. And we've a lot of also painters and digital painters who, you know, it's because this picture is already the beginning. It's not, our work is not that we are take one picture, modeling, and you inside that picture looking around. I mean, it's this whole entire story which connect a lot of the pictures. In one frame you have different pictures, and we are traveling from universe, yeah, with a lot of the handmade work. So that helps us to create this believable universe, a little bit even old school universe, as the paintings themselves. And I think that's, yeah, it's make it more human. That's why AI, yeah, maybe it's not the good choice yet, but you don't know, yeah. It's everything changes so rapidly. We just see it as a tool, not as a someone who, like a creator, but as a tool who help us, so why not?
Yeah, and my memory of the piece is that, you know, the music had a real emotional grounding where it gave a lot of feeling to the piece, that as I was going through these worlds, it also felt like, you know, walking through a dream and going into these other fantastical worlds. But just curious to hear a little bit more around your choice of composer or musician to give the backbone to the piece as you're going through these different spaces.
Hmm. It's interesting because one of composers is Čiurlionis' grand-grandson, Rokas Zubovas, and he was working together with Phil Vaughn. How to present Phil Vaughn?
Phil Vaughn is a performer, music composer, dancer, and in fact experimental electronic music performer, first of all. Also very interesting personality. And Rokas Zubovas is a famous piano player. So he improvised it himself, improvisated these works of Čiurlionis, his ancestor. And Phil Vaughn created a layer of experimental electronical music on top. And in some moments, it's for me, even for myself, it's like a blend everything together. And you, by the way, it's an interesting moment that Čiurlionis himself was synesthetic personality, so his understanding of colors, sound, music was really very specific. And in some moments I just feel like it's blending together his sound and music and colors, and that's a very special moment in that work.
And it was very interesting process of creation, because composers were working together with sound designer Vytis Puronas, and it was like all music and sound and space all blended like between three artists. So it wasn't like just working by each by the corner, but it was like collaboration and yes, common creation. So based on the music of Čiurlionis. Yeah, it was very, very interesting process.
Yeah, and it sounds like from hearing a bit more around the design process that you started with like constructing the spatial journey and how to connect it together. And so just curious, there's a lot of symbols and stuff that's in the paintings, and it felt like I was in a dream, but a dream that was a very personal dream, and I didn't always know like what the symbols meant or if there was a story that was tying it all together. And so as you think about this piece, was there an overarching story that kind of led through the through line, or is it mostly like a spatial journey that you wanted to take people on?
Of course it was a story, because if you look, yes, it's very interesting that you mentioned symbols. If you look at the works of Čiurlionis, so his symbols are repeating. And he, through his creation, he was having some very strong messages that were also repeating in his paintings, even in his music. And he made a cycle of paintings that was called Creation of the World. And also he even worked on a symphony that was called the Creation of the World. And for us, Creation of the World, it's like an ode, a piece that brings creation to the value. Like, if to be very short, so it's a journey in the world that is given to you, where you get the realization that you are the creator and the carer of the world you live in. So, and we think that this message is very important, especially now. And already Čiurlionis was thinking about that. So it's not old, it's it doesn't get old.
Creation of a world, from a first view, have a lot of religious symbols. Even this story about creation of the world, how it's created and so on. And many people just told us, oh, yeah, it's okay. I like this so much, but this religion of Vims is not for me and so on. But it's very symbolic. It's very different. It's not, in fact, religion. If it's religion, it's a religion of Lord of the Rings. You know, it's more like a fantasy, it's an epic story about creation of world, or, you know, many worlds. And it's not really about the religion, because even if you take this moment when God created universe and then destroyed in our piece, it's created by God but destroyed by demon. Because why God should destroy the world which is created is one of the examples. And at the same time, it's just a journey. In fact, for me, story is important, is always important, but experience is the name of experience, it's not movie. The most important thing is your feelings, what do you feel, how do you feel after that, what do you bring for that, emotions. Emotion is the most important thing for us. It's not for your brains, it's more about your possibility to be in a fairy tale, in an epic fairy tale, and to see something above this world. And that's what I think is the most important thing here.
Yeah, in my notes that I took, because I saw it about a week or 2 weeks ago before I went off the grid for a week and then came to Venice and then watched like 30 hours of content since then. So it was like trying to remember all the pieces. But in my notes, I had questions around, is this biblical? Is this religious? Because there's a lot of snake imagery that's in there. Snakes are moving around. There's a snake that's like a glowing snake from the sun that, you know, has like three suns that are coming up over like these pyramids and then like slithering down. So, yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, we just discussed with you that you are Latvian, we are Lithuanians, and snake in Baltic religion, ancient religion, was a very important. It was like a spirit. So snake is not without a reason here. And Lithuania is a specific country because we was the last pagans in Europe. So we still have all this connection with the nature, with the spirits. We are close with indigenous people of America in that sense. So here you see that it's not like a just Catholic story about creation of a world. It's a big mix of everything, as Lithuanian are a mix of everything. And the same Čiurlionis, he was interested in hypnosis and even a lot in a science. You can see this story like a scientific story, because of this time, the story of Laplace, how planets are born and so on. If you see from that point of view, you will see a totally scientific story. Just mix it with the myths and so on. So it's really very multi-layer experience, and each can see that very differently. And that's, I think, is also a very important moment.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't just one sun, there was multiple suns. So it's kind of like a more of a polytheistic or that pagan symbolism. But, you know, when I often think around symbols and dreams, there's very personal symbols that are very meaningful to one person. And then there's cultural symbols. So it sounds like there may be a lot of Lithuanian culturally specific symbols that you are familiar with from being from that background and the culture in the Baltic region. And then there's like universal symbols. This piece probably spans across all of those in terms of like there are kind of more universal things that I get, and there's other things that I see that would need to be decoded, or things that I don't necessarily know what the intent or meaning might be. I did have, you know, going through it, I did feel like I was going through a dream, and I did get this sense of awe and wonder as I'm going through all these fantastical places and a journey from one place to the next. It was quite vast of all the different places that I was able to see through all these paintings. But at the end of it, there is this zooming out from two men holding like a snow globe, kind of like firmament that felt like two gods holding the earth. And then, you know, the creation of the world's having this creation myth of like, is this the creation of the world? So there were things like that that I was watching and I was like, oh, okay, is this what this is about story-wise? But still having a lot of ambiguity where I didn't quite know where to put it. I did have the feelings of that it was a satisfying journey, but still a little like confusion as to how to like recount the story and the experience that I just had. So I don't know if that makes sense. And if you have anything that you wanted to add to that.
Oh. It does make sense. I mean, it does make sense because, yes, I mean, as there are symbols and you can watch the story as a journey, but also Čiurlionis was imagining like working not only on physical world, but also on mental world, on philosophical world, because there are so many worlds around us on the same, basic. So we will also try, like it's a fractal, world inside the world inside the world. So we wanted to transmit also similar feeling or similar message. Because when you travel, you grow up not only like on physical body, but on your mental body, and you realize things that makes you more mature, then you start to maybe value the things like this two gods or this two men who hold this shiny ball, that maybe it's your life or maybe it's your experiences or maybe it's what you start to really appreciate during your journey. So I mean, yeah, it's but that's why it's very interesting that you can make different interpretations, because Čiurlionis himself, he never liked to talk about his art, and people at that time, they were asking, oh, what does it mean? Explain us, what does it mean? Because for them it was very new, you know, not used to, and he was never answering.
He told that I did my job, now is your turn. And I think that's the same is here. We try to do it so multi-layer, but one of the layers which Christina told about is about creators. And it's really about VR, because what is a virtual reality? We are creating our realities. And for us, this piece is also as a possibility to create different realities. And then the end, those two kings, you can read them like VR creators creating their own worlds. This is only one of the meanings, but why not?
So when you describe the journey that you are taking people on, what's the language you use when you try to describe what this experience is to other people who may have not had it, or if they had had it, if you try to do any type of description of it ahead of time, or if you just let people see it? And it sounds like from the artist himself that he's wanting to keep it a little bit ambiguous and have people have their own experience. And so as artists who are creating artwork around that type of ambiguous art, I'm just curious how you start to put language to what it is that you create.
You know, it's hard to say, in fact, because for us, it's just possibility. The main word, if you will ask me to tell only one word about this experience, I would say transcendental. For me, it's a kind of a keyword here. And for me, it was very important to be in a stage of being somewhere else. Because, you know, why I'm dreaming about VR all the time, as I told even before it appeared, because we was born in a moment when, you know, geographical new place where they already found it, you know. So, and I am explorer personally. It's the type of a person is explorer, and I want to explore something, and everything is already explored around us. And virtual reality is a totally new world which you can explore, you can create, you can explore. And for me, what is really luck in virtual reality now is a feeling of exploration. Virtual reality is perfect for that, but it's not enough what we have around, what we see around, for me, not enough of a feeling of exploration. And it's not that we so much love what we do, it's not, we do what we really love to be part of. So this word, for me personally, is a possibility to make something for exploration of new realities, new worlds. And what is really important is not to make something for people where they feel that they sit somewhere with a headset, with a LCD screen on a head and see something like that. No, it's a possibility to bring them in totally another world and to try to make them forget about the world outside. It's an inner space and it's another world, and just to be there and forget about everything, about existence, this of a real world.
I think also what it is with this piece that it was important to let audience to have space inside, to have space for their thoughts, not to be just overwhelmed, and you know, when you stew everything and give them everything and lead by the hand and show, but it was to create space, yes, to close yourself from the world and to go on the journey, and not only the journey about what is shown, but about the journey what is happening inside you while you're watching. So yeah, it's about to have space to listen to yourself and to see what will happen to you.
And here I think we come into one interesting moment, which I like to talk about, is a feeling of the flow, this feeling of the flow, constant flow in this work. And here is a kind of a technical moment into that, this a camera, interactive camera, which you use in that piece. We try it to bring together two worlds, because you know, we don't want to make something with a steep learning curve, you know, to make you learn to fly inside and so on. So for people, sometimes it's overwhelming what's happening there. They can forget about that and just, you know, be like an interactive experience. But you also be able to freely fly it inside that. So it was a quite complex technical solution, because it works only when you are look forward, you are in this flow zone, and you flowing forward, then you can feel like sometimes like floating in the water or in the air. Sometimes you become like a big bird and you are able to fly freely and even to choose your path. But if you want to look around, this camera take control from you and you can freely look around, and you are going in a place where is you need to be. Sometimes it take control from you in some moment and bring you into the place in where you should be. But it's make us very fluently and gentle, because what we really wanted to achieve it to have no feeling on it interrupting. It's something control you. If we control you, we're controlling you very softly. And I personally also would like to keep work with that and to keep work on experience with this feeling of flow. It's like you are controlling your experience, but you're controlling it very gently, like in the dreams. All of us probably had a dreams when we are flying and we control the fly. So it's something similar to that. So going to the experience, you also are able to be in your dream, yeah, and control your dream in a way how you're controlling in your real dream.
Yeah, just to clarify, because my recollection and memory was that I was being guided through, but are there sections in this piece where I was controlling where I was going, or otherwise? Okay.
Yes.
You're always controlling, but in some moments you're controlling a little bit. It's just a soft movement inside the pipe. And sometimes you have a huge pipe when you control here. You can go, for example, if you see waterfall, you can go to fly through the waterfall. Or you have a big city and you can fly over that city and you can go into the gates and explore the city from different perspective. But it's very, very soft. So if you don't know about that or you overwhelm it, it's okay. It's take you, it's made it for you. Yeah.
Because I mean, yeah, the goal was to be very subtle, and sometimes we asked, but okay, we can show them 360 experience, you know, and so what is the difference? But there is a difference. Just it's a subtle subconscious difference, that when you are 360 you feel one way, and when you watch real time you somehow feel totally different and you don't know why. And it's super interesting to work with these subtleties where audience is not guided with the finger, but they just get a sense, and they don't know why is it happening to them, what is happening to them. So yes, and that's why Vitaliu said it took us a lot of time to find this very subtle balance.
And that's also about the narrative. In our works, we have no narratives. And for me, it's very important. I really don't like to hear when someone tell you something and so on. I mean, it's good for classical media, but here, you know, I want to be myself in that world without interrupting, without guiding you, do that, do see, look here, this is about that, this is about that. For me, it's a kind of, I always kind of, when I experience other experience, I even sometimes want to switch sound off because I don't like personally this interruptive, you know. So here, it's you, it's world, it's your exploration, your choices.
It's your journey.
It's your journey.
I think my recollection was a little blurry from a few weeks ago, but I don't know, even after I did it, if I recognized how much control or agency I had. So like you said, it's a bit of a subtle blend of both being on rails, guided and maybe nudged in certain ways or contained, but also having some freedom to kind of have my own agency of locomotion. So yeah, an interesting blend there. There's another piece here called Alien Perspective about Carlo Rambaldi, and similarly, it's exploration through these otherworldly paintings. And, you know, in talking to those creators, they were talking about how, as they move forward, they're coming up with the centennial of his 100 years since his birth, and so they're going to be exhibiting, like, VR and paintings that they want to use the VR piece as a way of having another entry point into the paintings. And I know that there's been VR piece by Excurio around Impressionists and the Impressionist paintings, and then people would see this VR experience and then go and actually see the actual paintings. And so this seems like another similar situation where you have a VR piece and then potentially an exhibition context where people could see the VR but then go see the actual paintings in exhibition. I'm just curious if that's something that is on the radar or something that you hope to do here in the future.
I mean, in Lithuania, in Čiurlionis Museum, we show VR experiences, and it's the best place to be and to watch the paintings and then to go in experience, or to watch a VR experience and then to observe the paintings. It's, I think, the best way to explore art, and
It's a very interesting question, because that's what we do. It's not only about creating experiences, because it's really pity to create something what people never will see, you know. So, and the problem with distribution is quite big. So what we did with the partners, we created our own cinemas. We have three cinemas in Lithuania. One of them is a museum, which mentioned Christine, in Museum of Čiurlionis, have even two spaces for the Creator of Angels and the Creation of the World. And in our case, the amount of people who visit this museum after we started to do that, more than double it. So that was a really huge, huge impact. And the interest in this painter is, is more than double it in Lithuania. And that's why we also really want to show it more in outside Lithuania, because it's a really very good way how to promote Čiurlionis outside, and for us also like a very important mission. And we are not only have a place where you can see VR, we are also creating everything around, like big projection screens which surround you. We're working now also with AI screens and some explanation about Čiurlionis and so on and so on. So it's like a 1 hour experience, not only in VR, but what's happening is outside VR. And that brings a lot to the people who want to experience this art. A lot of people told that we understand much better Čiurlionis, and for modern people, I think this is really it's very good way to get this interest. And I think that's here this, we have this mission and we completed already, yeah, at least in Lithuania, we completed that. Because in small country, which has 3 million people, our works already saw around 500,000 people. So just imagine how big is for this small country. And this country, which wasn't really excited about VR, everybody was even don't care about VR. Even more, a lot of people told us, oh, I don't like VR, I tried it, it's not that, and so on. But now, other creators saw our example. They also created in the picture experience of artist, which also was in Venice, and they also created network of VR cinemas. So now in our country with 3 million people, we have two networks. Yeah, the VR, we are probably have the biggest penetration of VR in the world. So it's a unique country, it's like a VR country. For example, just a small thing, but in Lithuania, the first piece, so more people than second Avatar. It's fun. Not really a lot of countries probably have that. So yeah, and I hope that also that we found something. A lot of people told for us after watching our works, wow, now I know why we need VR. Because it's not the only answer. There are a lot of answers why do we need VR, but I think it's one of the answers.
I think that piece was here at Venice last year, right? Another Lithuanian piece around a painter. What was it? What was the name of that?
The Lithuanian one, yeah. Žaisti gyvenimą, Play Life, yeah.
Right. So that was another Lithuanian piece. So they got inspired by your original VR work, and now they have a whole... because when I talked to them, they were really interested in the distribution aspects and kind of making a whole network out of it.
And what is really fun, that we are friends with them. We have no any problems, you know. It's not like we are so competing, like as a competition in normal world, because we are not competing. We are educating people about the VR. We show that VR is a good thing. It's worth to spend money on that and spend your time on that. So we do this work together.
Great. And so what's next for you in this project?
I mean, we are thinking to do a trilogy. So it will be trilogy on Čiurlionis paintings. So we are now preparing the last part. So this is the big next. And also Vitalius already mentioned that our goal with technologies to reach emotions. So it is to create pieces that would affect audience on emotional level, and that creation and art would talk to everybody who is educated, who is not educated, who is interested in art or not interested in art. And the language of emotions, it's wide and it's for everybody. So this is would be really the goal, to create pieces that touch audience emotionally.
And also at the same time, we think that we don't want again to stuck with our project for 3 years. So we also want to work on a maybe smaller project at the same time, different projects, but with the same concept of bringing emotion. And my personal now passion is to work also with some music pieces, with modern music, and my dream is to make a project based on Sigur Rós music, because it's something what really about what we like and what we do. So yeah, so if Sigur Rós guys or someone around will hear this podcast, yeah, you can contact us or we contact you, because I think that together we can create something really amazing.
Yeah, there's a Magically piece that was using Sigur Rós music. I'm not sure if you ever heard of it or saw it, but yeah, it was a very interactive piece that was done by Magic Leap, showed at Magic Leap LeapCon 2018. So did an interview with the creators of that. So yeah, they've done some immersive work in that realm, but yeah, they're great musicians, of course. And yeah, as we start to wrap up, I'd love to hear what each of you think the ultimate potential of virtual reality might be and what it might be able to enable.
Oh, virtual reality. Now I think that's everyone probably waiting for that, but it's for possibility to, again, yeah, we are back to AI stuff, because it's another one big thing, and I think it's a really huge thing for virtual reality, because now we are stuck in very complex animation pipeline with all this 3D asset animation, blah blah. It's very expensive. It's time consuming. It's expensive. And now when we have this VR, not VR, but interactive AI examples, when you can create interactive worlds, for sure that will come also to VR. And for us creators, that will be possibility without all this complex pipeline, just to create those worlds with working one-on-one with VR. And some people afraid about that VR will start to create for us, but I'm waiting for a moment when we'll be able to use it as a tool. Just imagine creating, sitting in his room, imagine his worlds, and those worlds just appearing right now here. That will be really a very interesting time, I think.
Yeah, almost like Ready Player One. But different alternative or something like that. But I think it's coming, and it will be exciting time, or like it depends on your point of view, but it's coming.
And another thing what I really think is kind of game changer is augmented reality. Not augmented reality as a media, but as a technology, it should be really popular around. So I think that a lot of people will have devices and some moment of augmented reality devices. And I'm pretty sure that in one moment, augmented and virtual reality will blend into one good device. And then when virtual reality available for everyone, so that will be a time when virtual reality will be much more widely distributed, and when virtual reality creators will be able to create much more things for a much wider audience.
Is there anything that you want to experience in VR?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly, you know, that's, I really want to have very complex worlds, virtual reality worlds. What I'm really missing is complexity. I think that we are just like our humans, our brains, they use it to complex world. You know, we have a lot of elements, a lot of processes, you know, and you, when you are exploring, you need to see those processes. It makes it more, much more believable and much more interesting. Now, this virtual reality worlds for me a little bit too flat from this point of view, that not a lot of different, a lot of the process and so on. So when we did the remake of our first piece, it was not remake, but remaster, it was a day and night cycle, and I really enjoyed to adding some small thing with you probably even will not see or notice. So something like what when at night flowers closing and morning they open up, you know, and so on. So this small elements, you know, like cycles. I'm really very, cycles very important for me, like for this morning, day, autumn, and so on, all those things. It's a cycles. It's about the human, I think, understanding of the world, perception of the world is always searching for patterns. And when the brains find patterns, they are very happy. You know? So to have a lot of different patterns in VR, to have a complex VR, and that's again, but probably AI will help us to add a lot of the things. And I want to experience that. I want to explore very interesting and complex worlds. So yeah, so I hope
reality,
to
but a bit with the magic.
With the magic, yeah, with the magic. not to have a copy of that reality for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast to help break down the creation of the worlds. Really enjoyed the spatial journey through the paintings. And yeah, I just felt like I was going into the trip into these other worlds, into the imaginative mind of creativity. And yeah, just also really enjoyed the music as it was really giving this other additional emotional anchor as I was exploring around. And yeah, it was a real pleasure to chat and to learn about things that I missed in terms of the self-guided, directed agency that I had that I wasn't necessarily fully aware of. So yeah, just kind of like this unconscious exploration of sorts. So yeah, thanks again for joining me here on the podcast and help break it all down.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. For us, really was important and interesting to talk with you, the person we hear so much. You know, your podcast was one of the sources of information and inspiration. Now we are here. So thank you for taking us.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this Venice Immersive 2025 coverage. And hopefully you found some use in some of this documentation of these experiences that are very ephemeral. And some of these show at these festivals and they don't really go out widely beyond this a lot of times. I mean, maybe they are, but you may not be in a place that it's easy for you to see them. And so it's a real privilege to be able to see all these experiences, but also to be able to sit down with these creators and have a really deep, in-depth conversation in a way that there are not a lot of other opportunities to really dig into at this level. And so I really appreciate all the time from all the creators to be able to have these conversations, but also for you to take the time to listen to them. And also it's been a challenge of trying to find a way of speaking about these experiences in an abstract, theoretical way, or at least in a way that I can ground it and allow you to put yourself into the experiences to kind of imagine some of these different things that they're doing, how I'm experiencing it, but also the different types of design decisions that the creator is making. So if you find this useful and want to support this type of effort of both documenting the history of immersive storytelling, but also to support this kind of wildly ambitious independent journalism project that is very much driven by support by listeners like yourself. So please do consider becoming a member of the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.